Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. If you were here on Sunday, you heard Pastor Allen, his sermon, say something like this. The idea of shame is that being let down or disappointed or having trusted in something that in the end proves unworthy of our trust is often how we define shame. On the internet, for example, and I never figure out because I don't take the time to read all these, but somebody threw shame. I don't know how you do that. You know, I can throw a snowball if I have snow. I can throw a tennis ball if I have a tennis ball. But how do you throw shame? Isn't it weird? But one of the things that the scripture points out is that there are times that shame can be within us. It's our own sense of refusing to accept our weaknesses, and it becomes toxic. I mean, I'm healthy that I can't fly like a bird. You won't ever come to church, drive in the parking lot, and see me on the roof, flapping my arms like a crow and expecting to, you know, ascend a little higher than what my body weight can be held by the roof. I have a healthy view of self. I have a healthy view of self in the sense that if the college kids were playing basketball, I don't play. One, because I will end up hurt. Two, I will have an asthma attack because I can't exercise or exert that much energy. And three, I don't like getting the basketball shoved down my throat by all the guys that are taller than I am. When I was in college, I was the short one of the group. The guys I hung out with were 6'11", 6'10", 6'7", 6'5", 6'2", 6'2". I'm 5'11". And I played basketball with these guys. And one time we played basketball on a goal that was 8 feet high. Now, if I'm barely six and I have a 33-inch, you know, sleeve length, that's not very high. I can hop a little and just put the ball in. And we played basketball, and the rule was you could not put your hand up through the hoop to block the shot. Okay, that was the rule. And every one of us could leap high enough over the rim. It was not a problem to dunk the basketball when the rim is 8 feet tall. But the other problem was everybody else can defend the 8-foot goal, and all of us had arms that were worse. You can't see my scars, but we had just tore up our forearms because of the metal ring and being jammed against the backboard and everything else like that. But it did feel good, I will confess, to be able to play basketball as if I was tall because the goal was short. Tonight is about shame. How's your view of self? When do you feel good about your shortcomings? And when do you feel terrible? And when does that sense of self get really out of whack by the opinions of others? John Maxwell, who's a he was a pastor, now he's a public speaker. He talks and writes about leadership. And he wrote a book about failing forward. And in the illustration, he says, if you ever notice, if you're a people watcher, people walking along on the sidewalk, and if they trip and fall, he asks the question, what's the first thing they do? They stand up as fast as they can and they look around to see who saw them fall. Okay? Maxwell's point about leadership is you should take the time while you're down there to figure out how you got there so you don't end up there again. But that's not what we want. If we stand up fast enough and nobody was watching, we have deniability. I didn't do it. I'm okay. Nothing happened. And we tried to set it aside. But the flip side is true. If five people saw us, any of them can label you a fool, a klutz, whatever it is. And what happens is they toss this shame upon your failure. And we often don't know what to do with it. And the more important the witness is, and the more important to you by relationship, the person casting shame, the more it hurts. Probably all of us know somebody who has an opinion about ourselves, but we don't like them anyway. So we don't really care what they think. That's not the one that's going to get to you. But it's the opinion of one that matters to you for whatever reason. It can be by authority. It can be by influence, by power. You know, what they have over you as far as by position or rank, you know, how you would say it that way. However that is given, they have power. You've given them power to cast shame. And so often, people can tease you and say something, but it's the person that you want their love from. If they say the same thing, it will hurt all the more. Advent is about wanting and cherishing and desiring the love of God, isn't it? That God sent his only begotten Son for us. But there's a hiccup. We are the mess. We're the fool. We're the failure. The Bible calls it sin, just generally speaking and specifically speaking. The Bible calls it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in the scriptures, the one that we want is also sometimes the one we don't want. And there are a couple great examples of that. Jesus is in the upper room with Peter and the other disciples. It's the night he's going to go out to the garden and get betrayed. Judas is going to betray him with a kiss. But in that upper room, remember Jesus washes the feet? Do you remember Peter? No, Lord, not my feet. That was too much for him. This is the one he honors. This is the one he believes in. This is the one who is Lord. This is the one who's the Son of God. This is the Word incarnate. This is Jesus. And he's coming to me to wash my feet. That's unacceptable. And Peter even tries to negotiate. Not my feet, but my head also. In other words, get away from the dirty part of me. Your holiness casts more shame and makes it obvious of how bad I am. It's like turning on an extraordinary bright white light and seeing all the blemishes that we have. John the Baptist is another example. Jesus comes. It's right at the start of his ministry, and there he is going to get baptized in the River Jordan. And you remember John's attitude? I can't baptize you. You baptize me. I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals. Do you know how stinky sandals were? You know, they didn't have paved roads. They didn't have carpeted aisles. You know, it was dirt. And stinky dirt and sweaty dirt, and it stuck to the feet. A person's foot would be awful. That's often why when you see ancient drawings or ancient paintings portraying it, they would dine at a low table and they would be leaning on cushions. And where would their feet be? Not under the table like us, sitting at a chair with fork and knife and plate. No, that smell would rise. I wouldn't want my smell like that. their feet would be laid out this way, and they would be on their side, and they would eat out of the bowls. And the feet would be as far away from as possible, because that was the wretched. And if you had an excellent host, remember what they did? Jesus was at as a guest, and the guy didn't wash his feet, and he didn't greet him with kisses. And that woman, wow, she was washing his feet with her tears, and she had kissed them, and wow. So you see Peter, John the Baptist, there was the centurion, the soldier. He was unworthy to have Jesus come into his house to heal the servant. He showed great faith. All you have to do is command it, and it is so. He understood authority, but he was unworthy. In Psalm 25, as Pastor Al pointed out last week, Psalm 25 is about Christ coming to make a trade. He is the King of Glory, but he's going to take our sins upon himself. In other words, he's trading. He's taking our shame. That's tonight's theme. He's the King of Shame. He takes on our shame upon himself. As the Bible says, he took on our sin. He carried our sins to the cross. And in that place, as the prophet says, here's the one who is righteous. And he gives us his righteousness. We're covered in the righteousness of Christ. Our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. It is this contrast that helps us to understand what Advent is about. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ, we're preparing to give up our shame, that which is toxic about us and in us. But it's not the opinion of others that matter, it's God's opinion. When the Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God, do you know how to put that in common language? You stink. You have sinned. The stench of sin is on you. You stink. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus comes to take that. And he covers us with himself. And in the forgiveness of sins, we are restored. And in the promise of his resurrection, we are given life and renewal. So here comes the King of Glory. He oversees the realm of creation, all that we know that's been created, all the stuff we still don't know about, all the stuff we've just newly found, you know, these galaxies and stuff. God knew about that back in Genesis. There's no surprising him. Here comes the King of Glory to make the exchange that he would be in our place and in our stead, take the judgment of God, the opinion that matters, that we have fallen short, and he pays the price. And he takes that shame that we have disappointed God, and he takes it away. And in the cross, we see the glory of God. And in the cross, we receive the righteousness of Christ. And in the cross, the shame is gone. So the stories about me when I was young, they're true, by the way. What a mess. It's gone. Your story, they're true. It's gone. In the cross and in its place, you have the righteousness of Jesus, the King of Glory. Amen.